You're listening to Radio Boston, and this is a cover of Barbara Dane's 1966 song, Freedom is a Constant Struggle, performed by the Portland, Maine group Palaver Strings, and Grammy-nominated opera singer Nicholas Pahn. Protests can take many forms. Sometimes it can look like encampments, like we just talked about earlier in the show, at colleges and universities. And sometimes it can look like marching in the streets. And sometimes it's music. Palaver Strings is bringing some of history's most iconic protest songs to life in a new way, and with some local help. Joining us today in studio is Nicholas Pahn, who partnered on this album with Palaver Strings. We're also joined on the line by Elizabeth Moore, co-artistic director with Palaver Strings and performer in the orchestra. Nick, first, hi and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Elizabeth, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nick, I want to start with you and ask, what drew you to the concept of an album made up of protest songs?
I find this idea of song in general really fascinating because it's this wonderful opportunity for us to bring communities together. Song is something that, you know, you're sort of, when you're in a live performance, performing song, song brings music into a sort of concrete sphere because there are words attached to it. And because of that concreteness, we're all forced to sort of reckon with and sort of sit with the things that are being discussed. And so song is kind of a unique form of protest. And we live in this time in which protest is obviously so prevalent in our society. And so I thought it just kind of felt like a timely way to sort of meditate on these themes.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I want to bring you into the conversation. Palaver, basically formed here in Boston while many of you were studying music here. So was this part of what led you to this kind of music?
As you said, we started as an ensemble while studying music in Boston. I think from our very beginnings, Palaver Strings was interested in finding a way to reach our community with our music making and be part of community and part of change, both in the music world and in the larger context of the world in general. You know, we spend so much time as musicians in a practice room just learning how to make the sounds come out of our instrument that we want, but we wanted to be part of something bigger. We wanted our music to be part of a larger context and to have meaning. And I think this project is a continuation of that and a continuation of what we've always been trying to do as individuals and as an organization.
You know, when I read more about Palaver Strings and learned more about this album about protest songs, I've got to say the first thing that came to mind was not string instruments. And so, yeah, Elizabeth, can you talk a little bit more about, you know, how Palaver is kind of approaching this music? Why do strings really make sense here?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's about that strings make sense, but more that any musical instrument can tell a story if you find your way of telling it. And I think it's all, for us, I think it's all about finding the right collaborators. And Nick is one of those people that we met and immediately knew that we wanted to work with again. We had so much in common, not just as musicians, but as people and the way we view our role as musicians in the world to help further social conversations. And we have been talking for years about what kind of project we wanted to do together. And it was during the pandemic, I believe, that we were going back and forth and that this idea of an entire album around protest music sort of came to be. And then from there, it was like picking the right songs and then picking the right arrangers. Because so much of what we wanted to do is present familiar music and familiar text and familiar songs in a new way, in a way that spoke for us or that we could speak through.
Yeah. Well, I want to take a second to play a little bit of sound in this segment. It's one of my favorite parts about music segments. This is Lovely, Dark, and Lonely, based on a poem originally written by Langston Hughes and composed by Harry Burley in 1935. Nick sings the words to it here, and yeah, let's listen to that a little bit more.
Do not be afraid of the night. You are a child.
I'm going to bring that down to ask Nick a question. First, I want to point out that the song name is Lovely, Dark, and Lonely One, to correct myself. But, you know, Nick, tell me a little about what this song means to you.
The song is really about kind of hanging in there in times that are tough and, you know, sort of feeling unseen and feeling alone and feeling isolated and just knowing that you can let your light shine and that you should let your light shine. It's an extraordinary piece of music. It's actually the last song that Harry Burley wrote.
Yeah, 1935. That's from a decent long time ago. You know, what you think that's so, I don't want to say that's so old, but it is from a different era. What makes that kind of resonate still today?
You know, I think it's an interesting piece in his sort of larger work. You know, Harry Burley was one of our first African-American composers. You know, he's credited often with influencing Antonin Dvorak in his composition of the New World Symphony when he was over here in the United States at the beginning of last century. And so he's a really important figure in music history, in American music history in particular. And it's interesting that this is the last song that he wrote. A lot of what he's known for actually is spiritual arrangements and also just sort of kind of more art songs that are a little bit more innocuous in ways that were championed by actually a lot of white singers. He was a singer himself. But it's interesting. This is one of the only times he drifts to the poetry of Langston Hughes. And I think that's a really important statement that he was trying to make musically. He wrote this piece for Marian Anderson, the great contralto who appeared on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And, you know, she never actually ended up performing it, but it was written for her in mind. And so there was obviously a sort of civil rights
perspective to
it. Yeah, and intention behind it.
Okay. So we are talking about protest music with Nicholas Pawn, a singer, and also with Elizabeth Moore, a viola player with Palaver strings. Nick, I also want to ask you something. So Elizabeth mentioned that the idea behind this protest music album had to do, or it came about during the pandemic. So, you know, we were not talking about the war in Gaza at all. That wasn't even a thing yet. But, you know, so as you are about to release this album, what does this current moment make you think?
It's interesting, you know, during the pandemic when we were having these conversations about this album, I think a lot of us were seeing protest unfold in a really visceral way for the first time in many of our lifetimes, I think. And it's, people have kind of looked at this moment sort of looking back at, you know, the Vietnam War, for instance. I mean, the current moment right now in terms of the war in Gaza, and kind of looking at these political divides and how it's sort of stretching and pulling, particularly on the left, and people have real concerns about what that means for November. And I know a lot of people are looking back to the late 60s and 70s and the Vietnam War, and a lot of these songs on this album kind of come from that time. And I think something that's really interesting about music is that music is always composed in a moment, right? But it always requires a living being to bring it to life. And so it makes history alive for a second. And
there's emotion included in there, too.
Yeah, and I think that this moment with, you know, the protests that are happening all across college campuses across the nation, you know, it's, again, history is coming alive again for a moment, and we're really feeling it. And, of course, it's tied to current events. But there's this sort of larger idea of, like, what is protest? Why is the right to protest important? And also, how do we remember those protesters from the times when this music was written? I mean, I think it's, in a moment like this, it's perhaps a really important reminder for us all to be thinking about.
Right. Okay. And I want to bring up one of the Boston connections to Palaver Strings. Farai Malik, a singer from Boston, is on two songs. Elizabeth, I want you to have I want you to tell me a little bit more about her. She was not able to be here today. She teaches a class at Berklee at this time. So tell me a little bit more about her role on this album in the minute or so we have left, and what makes her voice stand out to you.
Well, she's just stunning on these tracks, and I feel so lucky to have been put in touch with her. She crossed paths while she was studying at New England Conservatory with some of Palaver's members and was recommended directly because of that. And it's just so happened that we never were able to meet in person until she walked into the studio, but I had no doubt, having heard her sing and talked to her on the phone, that we were very much aligned in what we wanted to do musically and expressively. And she just brings such intentionality and emotion to the two tracks she sings on the album. It's just stunning.
So I want to go out of this segment with a little bit of music. The title track, A Change Is Gonna Come, originally by Sam Cooke in 1964, sung here by Boston's own Farai Malik. We have been listening to Elizabeth Moore, the co-artistic director and musician with Palaver Strings. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Nicholas Pond, a singer. Also, lovely to hear you talk about the album coming out.
Thanks so much for having me.